You're listening to Square Peg Entrepreneur, a podcast of stories and inspiration from personal brands who are disrupting their industries and doing business their own way. And now your host, Nikki Takahashi.
Welcome to the premiere episode of Square Peg Entrepreneur. This is coming to you on the heels of Pride Month, which was June. And that's why I cannot think of a more fitting person to have on my very first episode. My guest, Hannah Stranger, is a queer guide who helps LGBTQ plus entrepreneurs come out in their businesses and own their voice. She is passionate about empowering queer folks so that they can grow their business, increase their impact, and live their life without hiding. You know, over the course of June, I saw so many businesses on social media changing their profile photos out to the rainbow background. And just as I do with many causes, many movements, I pause. I don't often change my profile photo, not because I don't support it, but because I often question, what do the people in those communities think of that type of support and representation? Is it respectful? What else can we do? I have so many questions about the LGBTQ plus community, from silly to serious, and you'll hear Hannah tackle them all with supreme professionalism. She is my safe place to land, and so I hope that this helps answer some questions that you might be having too about the LGBTQ plus community. Stay tuned as Hannah also gives all of us entrepreneurs some tips on things that we can do in our businesses day to day that show a more inclusive, supportive space. These are small things, don't take a lot of time, but they do make a huge difference. So I know you're going to want to take action. Here, everyone, is Hannah.
So my name is Hannah. My pronouns are she, her. And, you know, I got into the kind of LGBTQ space kind of kicking and screaming, if you will, because I didn't come out until my mid-20s. And even after coming out, like, it was hard to, I think, still be visible and to really embrace that part of myself. And as I was stepping into the entrepreneur world and trying to figure out like what I wanted to do, I knew coaching was just in my blood and I wanted to help people. And so I actually started coaching creatives because I have a background in animation and video editing and in all things creative. And so I actually ended up having a moment where somebody very close to me was coming out as bi. And he was struggling with that and what to do. And so like he reached out to me because I was out to him, so he knew I was a safe space. And not only did I talk with him, but I also talked with his mom and kind of helped, you know, helped her have like almost a game plan for how to better support him as he's figuring stuff out. And obviously as a parent, it's always difficult when your kid comes out, because hopefully it's just because of safety reasons and not because you're not accepting and affirming of them. But in that moment, I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be able to help other people who are coming out, who are trying to just figure things out. But I wasn't in a place, like, personally, where I felt comfortable showing up in that way. So it took another 2 years in connecting with other queer entrepreneurs to finally be like, okay, I need to step in my purpose now. I need to, you know, show up for this community. And in that kind of process of figuring out how to be visible, how to, you know, what it's being out to look like in my business, I ended up deciding that, you know, I want to help other entrepreneurs do that. You know, even if you're not like directly serving the queer community like I am, whether you're a web designer, photographer, you know, another coach, like there's still a piece of you that, you know, you shouldn't feel like you have to hide in the business space, and that you should be able to navigate that in a way that feels authentic for you. And so I call myself a queer guide, just kind of being that right-hand person as people navigate this journey, which is, you know, a roller coaster ride, all sorts of ups and downs and twists and turns.
So did you have your own coach before you became a coach?
Yep. I've worked with a business coach from day one. It actually was really happened by chance. I wasn't really looking to be an entrepreneur. I thought I was just going to be another cog in the wheel of some corporate company. But I stumbled upon this podcast, and Christine McAllister was on it. And her story just resonated with me that I reached out just to say, hey, like, you know, I listened to your podcast, really appreciate what you had to say. And then we ended up hopping on like a couple like clarity calls. And she opened my eyes to like the possibility of what life could be if I was following like my truth and my passions. And so I ended up taking a leap of faith and kind of jumped headfirst into the entrepreneurship and had her guiding me every step of the way, which was hugely helpful. And especially as I started pivoting my focus, to have her just support and guidance was crucial.
That coaching support is just absolutely priceless. What a beautiful way to encourage, lift up, show people a new direction. What you're doing is so special for that very reason. But let's rewind just a moment. I want to go back a few years. Let's go back to our upbringing. I know from reading on your website that I was drawing some parallels between the way I was brought up and the way that you were brought up. Of course, we both ended up in the design world at some point, but we also both started with Catholic school and religion as part of our upbringing. This must have added so much more complexity to the situation and working this out with your family. Tell us about that.
It was definitely a challenge, and it took me a while to be at a space where I felt comfortable enough with who I am to be able to, you know, come out to them. And so my mom and her side of the family are all Catholic. My brother and I were raised Catholic. My dad and his side are all Lutheran. So I kind of got, you know, a taste of both sort of denominations. And my dad is very, I would say he's probably like more religious in like a traditional sense than my mom. And just hearing the things he would just offhandedly, indirectly say growing up, because, I mean, always taught that being gay is a sin and going to hell. And I just remember, like, watching Ellen DeGeneres when her talk show was first coming out. My mom and I would watch it because, like, she's funny. We enjoyed it. And he's like, well, why are you watching her? She's a lesbian. I'm like, so? But it's like little indirect comments that kind of seed into your brain. And so coming out to him was probably the most terrifying person I came out to. But it was good because it was like a weight off my shoulder when I finally did tell them. And I ended up having to come out to my parents separately due to like work schedules. And I'm now 3 hours away from home, so I had to make a special trip to do that. But my mom like took it in stride. She, you know, questioned like, oh, did moving to a big city like turn you gay? Because I'm originally from a small town in central Wisconsin, and now I'm in Minneapolis. So quite a difference there. And I'm like, no, like, that's not how this works. But like, I could see the wheels turning, her try to figuring out what this is. And with my dad, I had to actually read off my phone what I wanted to say to him, because I couldn't just have that conversation. And there was some silence. And as he's processing it, and, you know, he did say that he still loves and supports me, but there's still that kind of sticking point that being so deeply religious, just it, what he's known for, like, his 65 years on this earth, I'm now throwing, like, this wrench in it. And so trying to reconcile that has been a journey.
You know, anytime we're bringing religion into this, it's a tricky subject. But one thing that this brings to mind is a moment back in grade school. I think it was grade 6. And I was told that I wasn't able to be confirmed by the Catholic Church because my family personally didn't go to church every Sunday. Even though I was going with my class as part of Catholic school, they didn't include me because my family wasn't attending church on the weekends. And that, in my 12-year-old brain, was just such a turning point. It was a moment where I really started to step back and reflect on what religion meant to me, what the beliefs were, how they were going to influence the rest of my life. Was there any moment that you can reflect on that was just that pivotal time for you that really made a difference and made a shift?
Yeah, well, kind of. Because, I mean, when I first kind of even allowed myself to entertain the idea that I'm gay, like, I shoved that down, like, throughout schooling, like, in high school when, you know, all my friends and I were reaching puberty and they were going boy crazy. I'm like, I don't get it. Maybe I'm just too involved in my studies. You know, that's it. And then in college, it was kind of the same thing. Like, I was in the computer lab working on my animation projects and just not giving much thought to it. And it was maybe 2 years after I graduated from art school. I was in therapy for like some anxiety and stuff. And I forget where, like how this ultimately came up, but my therapist was like, "Do you think you might be gay?" And I'm like, "What?" And that's when like my whole world kind of blew up. But as the pieces came back down, like everything kind of fit into place because things started making sense then from like childhood and, you know, throughout the years. But it was then, you know, the biggest challenge was, you know, that religious piece and what I grew up with. But I remember having, I went on a hike. I found like this new little nature conservation area. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it happened to be National Coming Out Day. And I was walking and I had this like profound sense of peace. Like for me, that kind of peace is something only God can give. So I knew in that moment that leaning into my truth and being, you know, brave enough to live that, I'm going to be okay because I am still loved. I was made in, you know, it's my God-given identity, and who am I to try to hide that? And so I found, I think, my peace with my faith early on, and now it's just a matter of, you know, everybody else and trying to deal with my family and, you know, all the different people who are out there just really condemning the LGBTQ community. And I know in my heart that, you know, it isn't a sin. I know that, you know, we are all loved, and I've moved away from the church, but I feel like spiritually my relationship with God is so much stronger because I'm no longer putting him into this box that I grew up learning about. That he is so much more expansive than most organized religions really give him credit for.
So beautifully put. Very profound insight there. Fantastic. Thank you, Hannah. Before we had this conversation, I just want to let the listeners know that we had texted back and forth a few times, and I gave Hannah full permission to correct me, to edit me. If I say something that is at all offensive, it is not my intention. I truly just have so many questions that I want to ask. And like I said, Hannah, you are able to stop me at any time. If I am crossing the line, you say, "Whoa, Nikki, roll that back."
Time out.
That's not the way you say it. This is just such an incredible learning moment for me. I want to just ask all of the silly and serious questions. In the beginning of this interview, you introduced yourself and then you gave your pronouns right away. Is that something that originated in the LGBTQ plus community? It's so new. I'm not exactly sure how I feel about it. And is it important that we all use pronouns now?
Yeah, I think using pronouns, even if, you know, the pronouns that you identify with match with, you know, your gender identity. So like, you know, I'm a female, so I use she, her. And I think even if more people use it, it creates a safe space for other people who may use, quote unquote, untraditional pronouns. So like the non-binary who use they, them, your trans, they, you know, have, as they're transitioning from male to female, female to male, like they're going to be using different pronouns than what, you know, they grew up with. So by, you know, making it like just a normal thing to do. So I have it on my like little Zoom name, you know, I have my name and then my pronouns. It's in my Instagram bio. I try to lead with it now whenever I'm on like a podcast or doing anything to almost, it's kind of almost signals to like you're a safe space. Like, it is safe to share your pronouns as well, because I will do my best to respect that. And I will slip up. Like, I slip up all the time, even with close friends of mine, just because, you know, that's 30 years of speaking in one way, and now you're kind of retraining your brain. But it's just, you know, catching yourself, you know, and correcting and making it, you know, like you're making, like, it's like, I don't know, it's like, just showing that compassion and that respect for people and acknowledging that, you know, we all are on this different journey. We all identify in different ways that doesn't align with how society has set things up. And so the more we can normalize it, I think the easier and safer people will feel to be out and to use their pronouns and to, you know, just feel more comfortable in their skin.
Okay, I'm just going to be honest and say it really feels like a lot. The
it
English
is a lot,
language
yeah.
alone is a lot. And we're fortunate that we come by this somewhat mm-hmm. naturally, and this is our native tongue. But now to add on all of these different pronouns and everybody being able to select their own unique combination of pronouns, it's just so overwhelming. And I'm so worried that I'm going to offend somebody.
You know, I think you will run into people who, you know, might get easily offended by you using the wrong pronoun. But I think more often than not, people are okay, like, just like, oh, I actually use they, them pronouns, and just kind of saying that in more of like a, oh, by the way, or an educational kind of moment too, especially for the first time meeting someone. And I'm trying to kind of default a little bit too, if I'm meeting somebody new, to use that gender neutral they, them, and just kind of, you know, be like I said, respectful. And if you do say something wrong, like, it's okay. It just, you know, make a note of it for the future. And so, like, when we know better, we do better sort of thing.
Right. So adjusting to the they, them pronoun now as the default, and then adding on the specific pronouns if they say differently. That's how we're approaching
it. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of trying to implement in a little bit more, unless I know for certain that, you know, they would identify as a she, her, or he, him. And some are comfortable using multiple. So you'll see in some cases people will have their name and then they'll list like she, they. So they're okay using either pronoun and they kind of feel like they identify with either of them. Yeah, I think it only gets offensive, I think, if you continually don't use the correct pronouns. And that's where it gets, you know, it takes a toll on the person when it's dismissed because people don't feel like it's the right thing, even though they obviously know themselves better than anybody else does.
Okay, now clarify for me. I hear LGBTQ+. This is newer to me, but I've heard some people say LGBT, some people LGBTQ, with the plus, without the plus. For the community, is it right or wrong, preferred or not preferred one way or another? When should we be using all of the letters? When should we be using just some of them? Help me understand.
I don't think so. I think there's a common understanding that, you know, no matter how many letters you tack on, like, it's kind of still saying the same thing. But you're just, it's that inclusion piece again. So the L is lesbian, gay, bi, trans. Q can be queer or questioning. And then plus kind of refers to, like, there's asexual, there's the non-binary, there's intersex. Like, there's this whole kind of just a fluid just sort of range of, like, how people identify and where the spectrum is actually the word I'm looking for, a spectrum of sexuality and gender identity. And so the plus, I use that a lot, the LGBTQ+, because that just encompasses, like, just everything along that spectrum. I also kind of interchange it a lot with queer. That's something that has been kind of taken back by the LGBTQ community. It used to be kind of a slur and used negatively in the past, but that's something we've taken back. And queer I use more as that umbrella term as well for the community. So I use those two interchangeably a lot of times.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised how often you use the word queer in your own marketing. I've always been of the mindset that that's just a word that is inappropriate to be used. So it's all learning, Hannah. It's all learning.
It is. And some people might still take offense to it, especially, you know, the older members of the community who grew up with that being a slur. But I love how, you know, we've recently been able to just kind of take it back and put our own kind of power into it and use it for good, if you will.
Right, right. Okay, let's step into the world of entrepreneurism. Mm-hmm. Because this is something that we both passionately love and enjoy.
Yes.
Is the, you know, the entrepreneurs that are paving their own path in life, doing things their own way, real mavericks and trailblazers in their industry. And now, you know, opening my eyes to this new segment. Well, I guess it's not a new segment, but, you know, another way of looking at how people can really express themselves in the entrepreneurial world. Because truly, Hannah, before I met you, I had never thought about, you know, a coach can be very niche to that community and that being really helpful. And of course, that is so supportive of somebody building their personal brand and having the courage to be themselves. So let's talk about that. You know, let's just go back to you as a coach for this community. Tell me what things you have seen, you know, ways that you have been able to influence people in this community who are starting businesses, who are in businesses, and how their businesses and lives have transformed once you've been working with them.
Sure. You know, in my, you know, entrepreneur journey, I've been involved in, you know, many groups, and whether they're masterminds or courses or group coaching or what have you. And there's always this element of not quite feeling like you belong, in a sense, because you don't see anybody else kind of like you. And so a lot of times when they're training on, you know, visibility and showing up and how you market and present yourselves, there's this added layer that people in the LGBTQ community have of that fear of visibility. Like, I feel like every entrepreneur has a fear of visibility. But when you add in the layer of being gay or non-binary or trans, all of a sudden you're opening yourself up to potential hate. And that is a lot to kind of digest. And so it can feel like you're failing at this course or in this group because you're not showing up the way that they expect you to, because you have to kind of dig through some of this other kind of the head trash, in a sense, to really show up authentically. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to specifically serve the LGBTQ plus community, is because I know what that's like. And there's power in having a person by your side who understands it, who gets it, who can help, you know, meet you where you're at, tackle those, you know, the rejections and the just the different conversations that may come up that other entrepreneurs won't necessarily ever experience, because it doesn't, their sexuality and their gender identity isn't tied to, you know, kind of their business and who they are. And that's not kind of up for debate that ours, unfortunately, is in this community. And so I've found that having like-minded people in your corner, just, it does wonders to have people who relate to you, who understand. And that confidence piece, like I see it a lot, is, you know, when you're able to connect with other queer entrepreneurs, like, you start to really find and own your voice. You start to see that it's okay to show up. And showing up is going to look different for everybody based on, like, their safety and how comfortable they feel with different parts. Like, some people will have a rainbow flag in the background, like I do with a lot of my videos. Some, it'll just kind of be how they, you know, share their story or the different, you know, messaging they have in their website and on their Instagram and Facebook pages. And so really being able to cater to that and walk them through all of the, not only like the rough stuff, because there's a lot of that, but there's also like celebrating the small wins. Like, you put up a story on Instagram today. That's awesome. You know, like, these little things that maybe don't feel big, but it's a step in the right direction. It's that action that you're taking. You're, you know, getting vulnerable one step at a time.
So entrepreneurism itself requires so much courage and vulnerability. But, you know, the way you've expressed it, it really sounds like there's a safety issue and a concern if you're, you know, part of LGBTQ plus community as well. So it's not just having the guts to go out there and start a business and show up, like everybody says, build content, show up everywhere. But if safety is your concern, man, that's really limiting, isn't it?
Because, I mean, you're, in a sense, you're coming out every time you post something. And, you know, that takes a toll. And some, you know, some days, like, I'm all about that. I'm like, yep, I'm here. I'm queer. Let's do this. And other days I'm like, I need to step back and just take care of myself. and recognizing, because there's so much of that, like that hustle and grind culture in the business world, and you got to show up every day, like maybe even three times a day. And it's just recognizing, like, no, that's not sustainable for a lot of people, and that it's okay to show up in a way that feels good for you, in a way that's going to be sustainable for you. And recognizing that taking days for self-care and to just reset is not only okay, but like encourage, like embrace the rest and embrace being able to do that internal work too. Because I've actually this month kind of gone inward a little bit and have done some internal work. And I know that now I feel myself coming out of that little like turtle mode and to be able to really share things more powerfully. So that kind of ebb and flow to really embrace that.
You know, I posted a question the other day just asking generally what cautions or concerns people have about becoming their own personal brand. And one person responded that it's, you know, they want to have a limit on how much of their private life that they share. That privacy piece is really important. Where do you draw the line? And unfortunately, it seems like there's almost no choice. Like, and maybe that's where some of this discomfort comes for me, is that I wouldn't just walk up to any entrepreneur and start asking about their sexuality or their genitalia or anything like that. But it almost feels like that's what we're requesting here, or that's what we're expecting or judging on. And I'm finding it really difficult to see how that's where that balance comes in, how that's even fair.
Right. I mean, it is hard because, you know, so much of, you know, your personal brand is you and your personality and who you are. And you see entrepreneurs talking about their husbands and their kids and different things. And that's obviously, you know, to be celebrated. But when you maybe have, you know, a wife or a husband of the same sex, or you're adopting, you know, kids because you can't have any of your own, or you're going through that transition from male to female, like, it's scary then to share that pieces of your story, which are very powerful and something to be celebrated, but it's not received the same way by like society as a whole. And so like, it's like you were saying, like it's a balance on how much personal life you want to like put out there and share. And that's going to be different for everybody. But, you know, when so much of your life almost feels like you can't share it, then it becomes almost claustrophobic and restricting, versus like, in my mind, being an entrepreneur, it's you're building the business that the way you want to live. You're showing up the way you want to, so you can do it like authentically and not feel like you have to hide any piece of yourself. So it's like that kind of internal struggle then that you deal with.
Mm-hmm. So you touched on the rainbow flag in the background, which I love, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
and even your website is all rainbows. You know, we shared a lovely presentation this morning by your friend Danby Shin. Thank mm-hmm. you so much for that introduction.
Yes.
Talking about inclusion and diversity, and you know, just being respectful of the words that we use in our marketing and in mm-hmm. our promotions. And one of the words that she used near the end of her presentation was the rainbow washing, or washed. How rainbow washed we are in Pride Month. Which really struck a chord with me. I think, we like you said, it's important to talk about yourself and your beliefs. That's all about personal branding, right? Mm-hmm. Exposing that is one component. I also think that there are some personal brands and businesses that go too far the other way. And this rainbow washing all through Pride Month becomes just some fun thing that we all do to add some color, or do you know, like, yep. You know what I mean? Like, you often wonder, are these people actually behind what this truly means? Or is it just because it's the flavor of the month or the day?
Right.
Or what are your thoughts on that? I'm sure you're seeing rainbows everywhere. And
oh,
you probably
all the
have
places.
So many thoughts.
Yeah, I think, you know, there is, I mean, the good part too about having rainbows everywhere is it is helping to normalize that this is, you know, a part of humanity, of society. But on the flip side, you'll have, you know, companies that they're changing their logo to be rainbow and they're, you know, all this Pride celebration and Pride merch. But if you look at where they've been donating money it's going to politicians and policies that are anti-LGBTQ. And so, like, you can't celebrate Pride Month, but then actively supporting things that are against the community. And so for me, it's starting to be really aware of, especially the larger companies, you know, where is their money going into? Like, where am I spending my money? Because I obviously am not going to want to support a company that is actively, you know, fighting against my rights. And I've really kind of tuned into more of the small businesses and connecting with, you know, the LGBTQ business owners and buying from them versus your larger corporations. And, you know, part of Pride Month too is being able to support these queer entrepreneurs, to support their businesses, because once you put money into their businesses, they go out and they continue to like change the world versus, you know, let's give money to these big corporations, they're going to go and support policies that, you know, I don't necessarily agree with.
Oh my gosh, that just feels so good, just the way that you've said it too, to support people in that community who are already sticking their necks out and being brave. What are some other tips that you can give, you know, small business owners like me, just to be sure? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you go about investigating? Again, that's another very layered subject, right? When you start donating or supporting businesses, you know, to be able to have the means to research all of their background to know if it's aligned seems like a very daunting, overwhelming task.
Oh, 100%. Like I've come across a handful of articles this month of people who have kind of compiled that information and have listed like companies like Comcast and AT&T and the amounts they've donated. So I kind of end up looking for, you know, the people who have already done the research and kind of using that to base, you know, my, you know, future purchases and support off of, or just kind of making a mental note too. Because sometimes it feels like some of those big businesses you can't really avoid because they're everywhere, they own everything. But like from a, you know, a small business perspective too, like being, you know, sharing stories and products from queer entrepreneurs, from Black-owned businesses, from, you know, trans business owners and stuff, like being able to elevate their reach, and by sharing, you know, more about them is something that can be done, you know, not just in June, but throughout the year. And being able to, if you find, you know, a company you really enjoy, like share it. Like I have a candle company that's based in Kansas City, Untamed Candle Supply, and they're an LGBTQ owned business. And I tell you, I don't know how many other candles I have, but every time I get some new ones, I'm always like posting about it and sharing stuff. And it's just spreading that awareness within your like own little communities.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's compile a list and put it into the show notes. Companies by queer entrepreneurs so that we have confidence supporting businesses in the LGBTQ plus community doing the right thing.
Yeah, I will definitely get you a list.
Hannah, if listeners are wondering how to get in touch with you to learn more about your services, where can they reach you?
For sure. So I mostly hang out on Instagram, and you can find me there at Hannah Stranger. And my website is also just that, hannahstranger.com. So basically, you type my name in anywhere and you'll find me. And, you know, right now I have a couple like one-on-one coaching packages where I kind of work more long-term with people to, you know, really dig in and work through some of the fears that come up, get some of the strategies in place for what makes sense for them, and to have just that knowing that I'm there for whether it's 3 months or 6 months. And those are always really special relationships, like for me to be able to have that container. But I also just launched kind of a coach in your pocket day, I call it, which is I use Voxer, which is like a walkie-talkie app. So people can sign up to have just a full day where we can voice message back and forth kind of as the day goes and take the time to, you know, process and journal, take action, and then come back to me with more questions or to verbally process. And I found that just to be kind of a fun day to, you know, maybe you don't, not ready or don't need, you know, a long-term coaching with me, but you just want to have my kind of eyes and ears and kind of guidance for a little bit. And so that's something fun I've added into the mix.
I appreciate you so much for letting me pick your brain on subjects and questions that, I probably wouldn't normally ask. So this is an exercise in stepping out of the silence and just getting the right answer. So thank you for being that place where I can not feel judged.
Oh, for sure. I appreciate you reaching out to me, Nikki. It's something I know not every person in the community is open to fielding questions, but that's something that's important to me, is to continue to have conversations like this with you and other people, and to just, be able to share my experience and different ideas on how we can just, all do better. Because I make mistakes. I'm in the community and I make mistakes all the time. But it's how you kind of course correct and learn from them.
And that was my conversation with Hannah Stranger. It felt so great to ask some of those very simple questions and know that she was a very safe, compassionate person giving me an honest answer back without judgment. You can just tell from our conversation what kind of a coach Hannah is. So if you are an entrepreneur who is being brave and stepping out and coming out at the same time, and you could use Hannah's support, go ahead, take a look at her website. It's hannahstranger.com. She has also generously given all of our listeners here 50% off of her new service, Hannah in Your Pocket. You heard her talking about it. It sounded so great. 50% off is what you're going to get when you use the code SquarePeg upon checkout on her website. In a conversation after our recording, I was asking Hannah, what are some easy ways that I can start right now, today, to make Zoom meetings and webinars and conversations just so much more inclusive and open? And she said, you know what, it's really easy. Just be the first person to say to everybody, welcome to the meeting. I'd love it if you just popped in your Zoom name, the pronouns that you prefer. Or as we go around and introduce each other, go ahead and feel free to state the pronouns that you would like to be addressed by. These are just really simple ways to signal that this is a safe and inclusive space. When you're in a sales call, for example, don't just assume that if you're talking to a woman, that it's a husband that may need to be involved in the conversation. Use the word partner instead. Take a browse through your website and your presentations and look for ways that you can be more sensitive and inclusive. We can all do our part. We all know as entrepreneurs that this is a really difficult venture to begin with. Layer on being a personal brand, out in the public, being yourself, vulnerable and exposed, that's challenging. But to be a part of the LGBTQ plus community on top of that, and be wondering if it's even safe to put yourself out there, to promote yourself and be on social media, I mean, this is just unacceptable. Let's all pitch in. We can do it. It's simple little steps. Thank you for being a part of the conversation.
This has been Square Peg Entrepreneur. If you enjoyed our show, please let us know by leaving a review and subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. For free resources and materials, visit squarepegentrepreneur.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.